Do stacks of homework actually help kids learn more? Or are after-school assignments pointless? I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you about a study that measured the benefits of homework on student achievement in a moment.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Teachers hand out homework to reinforce the day's lessons and build character, and many kids spend several hours on homework each night. But a new study shows that primary school homework actually offers no real benefit and has only limited results for students at the junior high level. Researchers looked at 10,000 children in various countries, comparing the academic performance of those who did homework and those who did not. They found that only juniors and seniors in high school benefited from doing homework, and even then, only slightly. Maybe it's time to lighten the homework load so kids can spend more time with the key educators in their lives, their parents. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartMail. Get a 7-day free trial today.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Katherine Albrecht here. This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show, and I'm live today. Apologies for yesterday's show. Had a bit of an emergency. So if you're of the prayerful, if you're a prayerful person, if you could just pray for the launch of the next step of the work that we're doing, I would appreciate it. I feel like there's, I'm not usually one to feel like I'm in the middle of a spiritual battle, but I have been feeling that way lately. And so would appreciate some prayer. First, the good news, and then I'll say a little bit more about that. And then I want to talk about the young generation, the Gen X folks who are struggling so much right now, and what those of us who are a little bit older, been around a little longer, might be able to do to alleviate and lift some of the load. So first of all, the good news is that the studio, you guys heard that on, you've probably been hearing, on May 20th, we got the approval from the elder team at Crossroads Community Church to build a podcast studio, a video broadcast studio, a studio where I can do my show. And it has been, so it took about 6 weeks to get it completely remodeled, to get the, to get it painted, to get the wall covering up, to bring in the furniture, to bring in all of the equipment, and to have it pretty much ready. And it has been another 6 weeks of just fighting with that equipment. And in ways that at first I thought, well, this is just par for the course. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just lazy. And then eventually it hit a point where I was saying, you know, this just doesn't seem right. To give you just one example, and I won't bore you with this because, boy, believe me, it was very boring for me. Boring isn't even the word. But just one example to let you know. So we had setback after setback after setback. And over and over and over, I would say to myself or to others who were asking, we're 99% of the way there. We just got this 1% we got to fix. It's just this one little problem. And then we would fix the one little problem and it would work. And then another little problem would arise and it'd be another 1%. And I'd say, well, we fixed that, but we're 99% there. As soon as I fix this other little problem, we'll be ready to launch. And that kept happening over and over and over till it got to the point where instead of walking into that absolutely beautiful studio, wait till you see it, it's really nice. Instead of walking in and thinking, yay, I love it, I can't wait to get started, I'd be like, oh, this place again, right? So in my spirit, I was beginning to feel discouraged. And we've all felt this before. You know what it is when you feel discouragement. You have a thing. You can envision where it's supposed to be, but it's just not going there. And instead, you know, it feels like a slog. And it feels like you're just not going to get there. Like effort on your part just isn't getting you there, or it's going to take more effort than you have available, or other people aren't on board and doing what you need them to do. Just there's a variety of different reasons why we human beings become discouraged. But discouragement is not in the Bible. It's not one of the things you're supposed to be in. Discouragement is not a place where followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to reside. And yet, that's where I found myself through no intention of my own, certainly. And I would say through really no fault of my own. At first I thought, well, you know, this is just me. I'm just not working hard enough. And so I worked harder and it still didn't happen. So let me give you this one example so you can see the kind of ridiculousness that was happening. So this was last week, I think. We had the elder team in to pray over the space when I realized it wasn't me and it was starting to take on a character of just something that was unreasonably not getting done and unreasonably being interfered with. So the elder team come in from our church, and our church leadership has a group of elders. We had one of the pastors come in, and seven people went in that room a week ago Sunday and prayed over it, and you know, prayed to just bless it and cleanse it and remove anything that's impeding it, and it still was having a problem. So here's one example. There is a little box, a little piece of equipment that runs the microphone and connects the microphone to the computer. Now, right now, I am still in my old studio, but I could have been today in that studio. So it has been fixed. So I'm letting you know it's done. It's fixed. But I want to tell you the story. So that piece of equipment plugs into the computer, and then on the other end, it plugs into the microphone. And it's one of those microphones that's up on a swing arm, and it's, radio microphone. It's a big thing, and it's got a little black fuzz or a little black foam rubber on the end of it, and you speak into it. So when we fixing problem after problem after problem after problem, we finally get to this. We plug it in, and we realize that I can either do audio on it or I can do video on it. So for example, if I want to do a Zoom call, I could have that Zoom with audio or with video. But if I tried to put them, if I had audio on and I turned on the camera, the audio would die. If I had the audio on, the microphone on, and I turned on the camera, the microphone would die. So vice versa. If one was on and you turned on the other, the first one would die. And so after hours and hours, Peter, who is just our genius IT guy, I love him so much, he finally, after digging into the deep recesses of just like listservs from years ago, finds out that these two pieces of equipment, the exact model number, like one of them is model 3.6 and the other one is model, 2.01 or something. And of all the different combinations, this particular microphone and this particular audio unit, which are from different brands, totally unrelated, but if you have these two together, it has this problem. So what are the chances? If I had one other different one, went from 6 months before or 6 months after of either one or some other brand, this would not be happening. So then he finds out that the only way to fix it, this is so insane, the only way to fix it is to find a cable that connects the audio unit to my computer that is greater than 10 years old. All right. Now, are you seeing the degree of just ridiculousness here? So he goes online and he orders a cable. It's like a $5 cable. It's just nothing. It's a USB cable, but it's an old USB cable. And so I've got to wait for it to arrive, and it comes to my house, and I have to remember to, you know, find it, and remember to put it in my car, take it over to the studio. So I do all that. I get it over there. I plug it in, and praise God, it actually works. That was on Sunday. But that level of silly thing, and I'll give you just one more. So we had to upgrade the cameras. The initial cameras we bought were just not high enough quality. So we have really good cameras now. But when we plugged them in, they were turning themselves off every 30 minutes. And in order to fix that, you had to upgrade the firmware. Okay, that's like a software that goes inside the camera. So we upgrade one of them, but the other one, we can't find the menu. There's like a little menu, and you flip through all these menu choices on the camera to find the one where you upgrade the firmware. Okay, so we're flip. It's not there. 2 hours later, we've looked and looked and looked and looked. And finally, I say, well, you know what we ought to do is, why don't we look on the bottom of the camera, get the serial number, because even though they're the same model and everything, maybe there's something different there. As I am unscrewing it from the tripod and I take it off the tripod to look at the serial number on the bottom, I have to unplug the power cord so this thing can run off battery power, or you can just leave it plugged in so it stays charged. The second I unplug the power cord, the menu pops up. So I never saw anything on the internet about that. We never found that in our research, but literally the correct menu to upgrade the firmware will not appear unless the camera is unplugged. Just that one particular camera. Okay. So now we see it, we find it, we upgrade this. But this is the kind of thing that was happening over and over and over and over. All right. Now, let me tell you the punchline here, because you know, you don't really care about my equipment. Hopefully you care that the studio gets built, because it's going to be super cool. But on Sunday, now, remember, it was a week ago Sunday that we all prayed over it, and I thought that was going to do it. I thought, boy, we're all set. So Sunday morning, I get there early before service, and I go into the studio, and I look at all this stuff again. I have the cord in my hand, the 10-year-old cord, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I've done this over and over, plugged in a new cord, and then that thing resolved. Okay, so I thought was, well. So I went and got my friend Carrie. I'm going to see if I can get her on the show, but she is I don't know what you would call her. She's like the heartbeat of our church. She's the, I think her official title is secretary. I don't know, but she's the person who prays with you when you have trouble. She came in the room. We prayed together, and it resolved, and it's now fixed. And I'll tell you when I come back what I learned from it, what we prayed, and how it can help you. All right, stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Treasure of my life. are so good to forgive my hidden flaws. I know I need you to keep on cleansing me, my God. So may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. May every movement of my mouth be pleasing before your sight. Keep me from secrets.
I love this song. Keep me. I love all this new music. It's great. That's Rian, R-I-A-N. I am blessed because Tiffany is back helping me schedule guests. So you're going to start hearing from a lot of cool people. I've got a big long list, and she has got some time, and she is lining people up to come on the show. So hopefully we'll get Rian on the show. She can talk to us about this great scripture music that is called Meditations, and it is Psalm 19. So at least as of now, all the music I'm playing on the show is literal word-for-word scripture. Just that's it. That's it. No other words. Christian music's fine. Hymns are great. Secular music has its issues. I'm not a big fan of it right now. But on this show, the music that you're going to be hearing and that you have been hearing is 100% scripture. So if you know of any artists, by the way, who have wonderful music that is based entirely on scripture, where they're just singing the words of the Holy Bible, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. You can always text me here at 877-536-1360. You can also go on my website at katherine-albrecht.com and click on the message me button there at the bottom. And of course, when I'm live during this 1 hour from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern or 2 to 3 p.m. Colorado time, you can go to katherine-albrecht.com and click on the live chat window, and you can chat with us there in person and post these things or ask questions, bring up topics, comment, criticize, request. You can do whatever you need to do. Just talk directly to me right there. All right. So let me tell you about the prayer. So there we are in the studio, and you can only imagine cord, cable after cable, serial number, menu, upgrade, you name it. It has gotten to the point now where I feel like I'm just slogging, not only slogging through mud, but like my I'm slogging through mud filled with plastic fishing line that is wrapped around my ankles, and every step is just is just harder and harder than the one before. Okay, so we're in the studio, and Carrie and I pray, and she says, "There's something in this for you. There's something that the Lord has for you. What is it?" And as we're praying, I went, "I know what it is." And I had not known. I honestly had not known. I prayed a lot. You can only imagine how much I prayed over the studio. At that moment, I got it. And what I got was not that the Lord was doing this. So I want to clarify something. When things are going hard, when you have trials and hardships and difficulties in your life, it's not God that brings those into your life, at least not in my life that I've understood. That's not how I've seen it. But he permits these things to be brought into your life. Sometimes they're brought into your life just by the flesh, just by the world, just by, you know, the way things are. Sometimes they're brought into your life because the enemy is trying to slow you down, trying to mess you up. But in those times, God allows them to happen. He allows, we know he allows the whole world to be under the principality, the leadership, the authority of Satan himself, because human beings made that choice, elected him, put him in charge, made him the prince of this world, and God permits that because he gave us free will to permit it. So in certain cases, when you're going through a hard time, don't blame God, but ask him to teach you what you need to learn and to carry you through it and to turn it to good. I talked about this before on the show. A lot of Christians talk about this all the time. What you intended for evil, I've turned to good. And that was about Joseph's brothers throwing him in the pit and selling him to the Egyptian slavers to become a slave in Egypt, only to later rescue his entire family, which became the Jewish nation. So he said that actually to his brothers, "You intended that for evil. You threw me in a pit and sold me to slavers. That was your evil intention. But look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done with that. He's put me in a position of leadership here in Egypt, you know, I don't know, decades later. And he turned it to good." So here I am in the studio. Carrie says, "What are you trying? What does the Lord have for you? What are you supposed to learn from this?" And I got it instantly. Instantly, I had the answer, and the answer was discouragement. That I am to learn from this, to not give in to discouragement. And it's a wonderful lesson because there will be many tasks that I have to do, that you have to do, that we all have to do in this really challenging time that we're living in. And challenging maybe isn't the right word. We're in a battle, this battle time that we're living in. There will be setbacks. There will be difficulties. There will be times when you're walking through mud with nylon fish lines wrapped around your ankles and you feel like you're not getting anywhere. And those times will come. We're told in all throughout Scripture that those times will come. But how we respond to them is up to us. And I was responding to this, not intentionally. I wasn't even aware of it. I wasn't even understanding. I was responding to it by becoming discouraged. And what's discouragement? Discouragement is when you kind of lose your optimism. You lose your hope. You start to feel that it's just not going to ever resolve. That, you know, it's just hopeless. All right. So there's me in my studio. This place is becoming hopeless. And the message that I clearly got when we prayed together in that room was, Catherine, you need to learn from this, overcome the discouragement. And as soon as I understood that, I was like, okay, I get it. There will be times when there are things I just won't be able to fix, period. But discouragement is the wrong response. The right response is to strengthen your back, stand up straighter, pray, and continue doing, just take the next step. You know, what is it? I think it's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. That old cartoon, that animated puppet cartoon from, I don't know, the 70s. And there's one scene in there. You younger people are like, oh my gosh, what's she talking about? But there's a scene in there where the song is put one foot in front of the other. And soon you'll be walking out the door. And it had to do with, like, I don't know, the snow monster or something. But the song, I'm just going to stick to the song. Put one foot in front of the other. Let's see if I can find it. We can play it in one of these upcoming segments. But put one foot in front of the other. And sometimes that's all we're supposed to do, right? We're not supposed. All I needed to do without becoming discouraged was put one foot in front of the other. You need the cable? Okay, get the cable. That doesn't work? Okay. Figure out the serial number. You can't figure it out? Okay. Unplug the like, put one foot in front of the other. And that's a wonderful message, because for all of us in what we're doing in our lives, we are going to be interfered with. There's no question. But we are not told to solve all the problems. We're just told to faithfully put one foot in front of the other. Just do the next step. Do the thing in front of you. I have this vision, this image in my head of the work that I'm called to do, and this probably applies to really anybody who is called to do something for the Lord. And that is that I'm in the woods. I'm in the woods, and in the distance, I can see, you know, up through the trees, I can see kind of a glimmering light over there that I'm supposed to reach, but I don't know how to get there, because all around me are woods and vines and branches and stuff. And the only thing that is lit up, the only thing that I can see, clearly see, is the next, almost like picture paving stones, like the next stone I'm supposed to step on. We have those in my garden here, with these flat, from Home Depot, like concrete things, and they're flat, and they're, what do they call it, stepping stones, right? So I picture these stepping stones, and all that is lit up for me is the next stepping stone. If I thought that I had to figure out on my own how to get from where I'm standing to that clearing in the distance, I would become discouraged. I would be like, there's no way I can do that. But instead, I say, Lord, just light the path, show me where I need to go. And he says, in Scripture, it says, your word is a light to my feet, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that's all I need to do. I need to just figure out a light unto my path. Show me the next step. So if you get stuck, if you feel discouraged, just pray that. And that's the lesson I learned. Now, here's the good news. When I did that, it fixed. And I was there in the studio on Sunday till midnight, 1 a.m. And we got every last piece fixed. We got the whole place straightened up. We got all the wires tucked away, everything put back. And I am super delighted to say it is done and it's working. And I've been testing it out the last 2 days. It has worked perfectly. Everything in that studio is operating and functioning. Yesterday, JD and I tested the microphone and the radio setup. He said it sounds much better than I sound even here. So I'm ready to go. And here's my plan. I'll tell you what the plan is. The plan is I'm going to broadcast from there probably tomorrow. I'll probably do my first day broadcasting from that equipment. And then the following day, I'm going to turn on the camera and I'm going to record that.
not for you guys, because I got to make sure it's okay. I've never done this before. And if all is well and that works properly, nothing breaks, and I don't think it will, then I am going to at least do one day, and it may become an everyday thing, but I'm going to try one day to, what do we call it? I got all the terminology here. It's not live stream, video stream the show. So you will be able to see me sitting in my cool new studio with my headphones on, sitting in front of my microphone, doing my show, and it will be, it will stream. And I think the place it streams is on YouTube, but I'm still figuring out those details. That's like Peter's thing to set up. But Lord willing, in 3 days, you will be able to actually watch me doing the show there. And then going forward, we may do that every day. There may actually be, in addition to you being able to hear me and listen to the podcast on KHNC and on my website, you will also be able to see a video stream. And once that happens, then we take off the brakes, and then I begin streaming, pretty much whatever needs to be said. And there is a backlog of a million things that need to be said. And I think that studio is going to be an incredibly powerful place to get the word out. So I'm excited. It's going to happen. All right. I know there are some texts in. I'm going to be reading those right after the break. Stay tuned.
One foot in front of the other. And soon you'll be walking out the door.
Alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I heard the voice calling from the throne. When he spoke, the earth began to tremble.
All right. All right. So what a wonderful thing that... let me tell you the thing I've learned. This has just been in the last couple months that this new learning that I've come to. And it is consistent. It is true. It always operates exactly as the Lord promises. So he says, if anyone among you lacks wisdom, let him ask and it will be given to him freely. Okay. So I have found that no matter the circumstances, if something, it could be me, it could be someone I'm talking to, it could be someone I love, if anyone is going through difficulty, challenge, hard time, they maybe they're upset, maybe they're having a crisis, that if I pray this prayer, or that person prays this prayer, it always, always never fails to, I never fail to get the answer, okay? So here's the prayer. Lord, show me what I need to deal with now. Reveal it to me and show me what I need to see, what I need to learn, what I need to do. And he will answer you. It's really astonishing. It's like the secret of the universe, practically, for difficult times. So I have prayed this in times when I had no idea what to do, no idea. And I was in like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Help, help. Well, what I've learned in praying this prayer probably, I don't know, a couple dozen times, is that I don't have to know what to do. Like, it's such a relief. I'm not able to know what to do all the time. None of us are. But if I pray and I say, show me what I need to deal with, reveal to me what is going on here and what I need to deal with, what I need to do, he does every time. And so Sunday, here I'm in my studio after 6 weeks of this. I can't even tell you how many hours I've spent over there. It's I can't even count them. And meanwhile, feeling this urgency, like I really got to start getting messages out. I've got to start using the studio and communicating what I'm supposed to tell people. And there was that prayer, show me what I need to deal with. And instantly, I mean, right then, usually sometimes it takes 5 minutes. Sometimes it'll take, I've never had it take more than like a half an hour, an hour at the max. He always reveals it. But this one like was mid prayer. And that happens too all the time, like mid prayer, you're praying and you say, reveal to me. And you're just like, before you even say amen, you know the answer. So that was it. No more discouragement, Catherine. You're not allowed. That's, you're going to, if you get discouraged, then you will just remain in the place that's making you discouraged. So just put one foot in front of the other, just one foot in front of the other. And thank you to JD for playing that wonderful song from Santa Claus is Coming to Town, put one foot in front of the other. We'll see if I can add that maybe to my bumper music on occasion, not quite scripture, but darn close to it. All right. So let me tell you something else I've been thinking about lately. So that, let me just give you that in your spiritual toolkit. Lord, show me what I need to deal with. Reveal to me. That's it. That's it. And it will change your life. It's been changing my life. I've been getting solution after solution, and I don't get bogged down and stuck in the mire like I used to, other than, well, you know, 6 weeks fighting with the studio equipment that is now fixed. So here's the other thing that I've learned. And this one just came to me literally today. So let me share this with you. As you walk around in the world, right, you're going to the grocery store, you're getting on the, you know, depending on where you live, you're in the subway, you're in traffic, wherever you are, you're going to be around other people. And if you're around those other people, I want you to take a look at them and ask the Lord to reveal to you, right, using that same prayer, reveal to you what he sees. And what you will see is that the people around you are poisoned. They're poisoned. And maybe us too. We are also poisoned because we are living in a poisonous soup. We're living in a poisonous environment where we are taking toxins into ourselves. We're taking poisonous food into our bodies. And that has become dramatically important. Like, really, really pray about your diet. Really give thought to your diet. Because in the last, oh, I don't know, decade or so, we are beginning to see the fruit, the bad fruit, coming forth of this bad tree of eating poison. The ultra-processed food, it's not just that it doesn't contain nutrients, it actually is poison. And it's causing people in their teens and 20s to develop gastrointestinal cancer, stomach cancer, intestinal cancer, all of these awful problems that used to just be the domain of people in their like 70s or 80s. And now we're seeing it in people in their teens and 20s. And all of the irritable bowel syndrome, the horrible gastrointestinal problems in our society, well, they're all the result of us eating toxins. And I've talked about this before, just even the xanthan gums and the guar gums and all of these things that I used to think were perfectly fine because they're from natural sources, all that stuff is just destroying our gut. So we're eating poison, and people around us, us maybe even, are taking poison into our ears through the form of horrific music with awful, dark, and just very death-oriented lyrics and sin-oriented lyrics that do not bring any light but bring darkness. So we're poisoning our spirits through our ears by bringing in bad music. We're poisoning our eyes by looking at things that we should not look at. And we're poisoning our mind, our mental landscape, by bringing in images from horror movies and images from the media that's all around us. Now, here's the thing I got today. So looking around, you will see that the people around you are poisoned. But when you ask to see it from the Lord's perspective, you will have tremendous compassion on them. Because I think there's a tendency to go, look at those idiots over there. Look at those people. They're just doing it wrong. But that's not what the Lord sees. The Lord sees them with a heart of tremendous compassion. And a heart, if you have this heart, as one of the workers in the vineyard, the heart is a heart of wanting to help. And that's kind of a new thing, because I have a little, I'm human, right? So I have a tendency to look at other people and go, ha, 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 they're just doing it wrong. That is not the heart that we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have a heart of wanting to help. And I had a picture in my mind of little toddlers, right? Three-year-olds, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, maybe four-year-olds, wandering around a parking lot without any parents and picking up off the parking lot, I don't know, cigarette butts and putting them in their mouths, picking up just every kind of form of garbage and trash. And I live near the river, so I picture this parking lot kind of being on the edge of the river, and there's like a river right there, and these toddlers sort of wandering over to the edge of the river. Well, you can't blame the toddlers, right? We don't look at a two-year-old picking up a cigarette butt and go, you are just doing the wrong. No, we run over and we take the cigarette butt from the toddler's hand. And so that is what the Holy Spirit does in us. The Holy Spirit, it functions as a loving parent, because we're kind of like toddlers. We're like, oh, this new music, let me click it up. Let me listen. Oh, this movie, let me watch it. And the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is operating correctly in you, will be like a parent saying, no, 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 put that down. Come away from that edge. Move over here. Don't play too near the river. The Holy Spirit sort of functions as a parent to direct us, because we're about as clueless as toddlers when it comes to picking up stupid stuff and sticking it in our mouths, or picking up stupid stuff and putting it in our ears or our brains. But the Holy Spirit provides that guidance, and it's a beautiful and a wonderful thing. So when you look at the people around you, let's say you're at the grocery store and you eat healthy. I don't know if you do or not. If you don't, maybe start working on yourself. But if you eat healthy and you look at other people and you see the 350-pound person who looks really unwell, and they're pushing over the grocery cart and it's packed with like orange soda and Little Debbie snack cakes, and there's not a vegetable in there, there's nothing healthy, there's no meat, it's all just garbage. There's a tendency to look and go, you know, that person, boy, oh boy, they're just living wrong. They're just not eating right. And there's a tendency to become very judgy. But instead, we need to have that attitude that you would have if you saw a toddler who was lacking a parent, who was doing the wrong thing. Now, it's not our place to go over and be a parent to the 350-pound person in line behind us at the supermarket, but it is God's place. And what we need to be doing is praying for those around us and seeking to bring in greater, parenting, greater self-control, greater supervision, greater direction, greater guidance. All right. I have this image in front of me on the screen. I'm just gagging. Sometimes you'll bring up a picture. I always have a ton of windows open. This one is showing me butter, and it's just flipping. It's like an animated thing on this homepage. I'm going to tell you about this butter in a minute when I come back. You're not even going to believe how awful this is. And you know what? People are going to fall for it. All right. Stay tuned.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. and I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
Okay, well, you wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the psalm that I think for generations Christians have been turning to for reassurance, guidance, direction. Yeah, beautiful. Psalm 23. That's Tom Reed, R-E-A-D. And I will post all the links to all the music on the show because a lot of it is new. I'll post it in my chat room and also have Lori post it in the podcast archives at Catherine-Albrecht.com. All right, so let me talk about this butter because it's really bugging me. All right, this is like what could possibly go wrong? Knowing what you know, you're going to think this is the worst possible idea ever because it actually is. All right, so back in World War II, Hitler, that's Adolf Hitler, the head of the Nazis, Hitler's regime came up with a way to turn coal, C-O-A-L, dark, yucky, black coal, like coal, into butter and actually fed it to Nazi troops because there was a shortage, right? Butter was rationed. So they found a way using chemistry to turn the carbon in coal into butter. All right, I was going to do a show on that, or at least talk about it during one of my shows. It's a whole history. There's a whole bunch of stuff about it. And then it just kind of, you know, went into the scroll of all the other things I want to talk about, and I never got to it. Oh, well, guess what? It's back. It's back. It is now here, and I believe it has gotten approval. It is to do the same thing, except now they're not saying, oh, we're making butter from coal, because even like a toddler would know, well, maybe a toddler wouldn't, but, you know, even somebody without a lot of discernment about food would know that you probably shouldn't eat coal. So they're talking about this differently. Let me read you this. I cannot believe I'm reading this. All right. Butter made from carbon tastes like the real thing and gets backing from, of all people, Bill Gates. You ready for this? All right. A company in Batavia, Illinois is making butter in a way you've never seen before. This is CBS News, by the way, touting this as like the greatest thing, I guess, since sliced bread to put your coal butter on. The sustainability-focused approach, barf, has the blessing and backing of Bill Gates. I don't think Bill Gates is in a position to bless anything. All right. It looks, smells, and tastes like the butter we all know, but it's made without the farmland, fertilizers, or emissions tied to the typical process. This unprecedented process is happening at the facilities of Savor, S-A-V-O-R, in an industrial park in the suburbs west of Chicago, just where I want my butter coming from. All right. So
Kathleen Alexander is the co-founder and CEO of Savor. I looked her up. She has an education from MIT, right? MIT, the tech people. So she says, you're using this gas right now to cook your food, and we're proposing we would like to make your food with that gas. No, thank you. The company's pioneering technology uses carbon and hydrogen to make sticks of butter that anyone would recognize. Quote, this is really novel to be able to make food that looks and tastes and feels exactly like dairy butter, but with no agriculture whatsoever, says this dude who's the food scientist for Savor. Food scientist, just even that title is giving me the chills. All right, it doesn't have a long ingredient list the average person can't pronounce. It's really just fat, some water, a little bit of lecithin is an emulsifier, and some natural flavor and color. This is how it works. Fats are made up of carbon and hydrogen chains. The goal is to replicate those chains without using animals or plants, and they did it. To put it in simple terms, Savor says they take carbon dioxide from the air and hydrogen from water, heat them up, oxidize them, and get a final result that looks like candle wax, but is in fact fat molecules, just like those in beef, cheese, or vegetable oils. The entire process releases zero greenhouse gases, uses no farmland to feed cows, and despite its industrial appearance, has a significantly smaller carbon footprint. Okay. Most importantly, how does it taste? The answer is surprisingly like the butter we know and love. Okay, now I'm going to go over to another description. This is from Inc. Magazine, INC. Kathleen Alexander never dreamed of spending her days making butter, but that's exactly what she finds herself doing as the CEO and founder of Savor. Unlike traditional butter churning outfits, there are no cows in sight, no pastures, and no tanks of milk. Instead, Alexander, who received an award as the 2025 Inc. Female Founder Award, works out of a lab where she uses carbon dioxide from industrial emissions. I can't even believe I'm reading this. And hydrogen from water to create edible fats. All right, so guess what they're doing? And Bill Gates is like funding this and totally behind it. It says, Savor isn't just another food tech company trying to replicate animal products. It's developed a method for manufacturing one of the most essential ingredients in the human diet, fat, using no biological inputs at all. Unlike companies growing genetically engineered cultivated meats, Savor relies on an ancient natural process. If it takes off, Savor could shift how the food industry approaches not just butter, you ready for this, but the entire supply chain behind edible fats in a world increasingly strained by land usage and climate instability. So how do they do it? Echoes of ancient chemistry. How exactly do you create food from something as invisible as air? This is what they're going to tout this as, right? They're taking the carbon dioxide out of air because air contains carbon. Right? 3.5 billion years ago, deep beneath the turbulent sunlight absent ocean. Oh my gosh. Savor's process happened naturally. Heated hydrogen-rich water surged through hydrothermal vents and mixed with carbon dioxide, forming fatty acids, the building blocks of life. Okay. Alexander and her team perform a chemical process similar to that primordial chemistry, instead capturing industrial carbon dioxide emissions, merging them with hydrogen from water to synthesize fat molecules. In today's agricultural system, different fats require entirely different crops or animals, right? Like butterfat requires cows, and palm oil requires palm trees, and corn oil requires corn, etc. All right. But Savor's system allows them to shift fat profiles with a change in processing conditions, not supply chains. Once Savor produces fatty acids through thermochemical process, they convert them into usable fats and oils by blending and tempering the molecules into chemical structures that behave like the fats we know and love, whether it's the soft richness of milk fat, the firmness of tallow, or the mouth-melting qualities of cocoa butter. This ability to fine-tune the composition allows Savor to achieve a specific taste, texture, behavior, and culinary function. All right, let's just stop and look at what they're actually saying. They're actually saying that they're going to take industrial carbon emissions, put them through a thermochemical laboratory process, and produce something completely synthetic, and claim that it is indistinguishable from actual butter produced from cows or actual chocolate produced from
you know, cocoa butter produced from chocolate plants. This is sick, it's twisted, and it will have a very bad outcome. When Hitler was doing this using coal, it's the same thing. You might as well be using coal. You could take anything. You could take poo and do this to it. Anything with carbon in it, that's pretty much anything. And put it through this process because yes, it's true that every single thing in this world is just a combination of chemicals. Like all of the physical things are just, you know, if you break them down to the molecules and atoms that are in it and you figure out how to reassemble those, but it's not the same. We know this because when you create artificial vitamin E, for example, or artificial vitamin D, what is it, D2 instead of D3? It chemically looks exactly the same, but it doesn't function the same way in the body. I shudder to think what this artificial, industrial, chemical-based, industrial emission waste butter is going to do to our bodies. Let me see if I can find the Bill Gates part in here. Where'd he go? Gets backing from Bill. Where is he? Where's Bill Gates in this article? I'm just scrolling down here. Oh, yeah. See, they're so good for our environment. The company touts they don't use any palm oil in the butter because palm oil is a significant contributor to deforestation and climate change. Of the 51 billion tons of greenhouse gases emitted every year, 7% is from the production of fats and oils from animals and plants, which is why Sabre says their process is climate friendly. All right now, this is making me sick. The company's working directly with restaurants, bakeries, and food suppliers. Folks, this stuff could be in your baked goods. It could be in your sit-down meal at a restaurant. They're not going to sell this to you directly because they knew nobody is going to buy it. Maybe they can put enough spin on it that people will be fooled. But this stuff is going to make its way into the food chain, into the supply chain. We're going to be eating it unwittingly without giving permission to eat it. It's going to be in our diets. All right. So we're entering into a time when things are not going to be what they look like. The butter is not going to be butter. The video image you see online is not going to be real. Like, how do we even know? Well, my answer here is we got to pray and we got to ask for that discernment. We got to ask the Holy Spirit to get us through this. And remember, this is not our home. It is burning down around us. It's not our home. It's okay. We're the firefighters. We're the rescue team. We got to rescue people from this stuff. We're not going to stop it. We're not going to prevent it. Bill Gates is going to put this stuff in all of our food. But the answer is we have got to be the rescue crew and rescue people from this sinking ship. Catherine Albrecht here. So glad my studio is working. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be coming to you from the studio. I'll be able to tell you that's where I am. And I'll post some pictures in the chat room and in the archives tomorrow if we're able to pull it off. So please say a prayer that we continue doing the good work that we're doing without interference. And stay encouraged, stay hopeful. And I'm at least going to do that. No more discouragement.